Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Hey, you're listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.12.18, and I'm your host, Eric Van Johnson. And with me, as always, is John Congdon.
The last one of 2025.
Last one, man. Each week we talk about PHP and web development, what's happening in the ecosystem, and what's new in tools, and what it's like to live and work as a developer today. We also keep you up to date on all things PHP Architect, our magazine, books, conferences, swag, and everything else we have going on. We record every Thursday around 3 p.m. Pacific time, and we're glad you're here. The show's made a little better thanks to our partners over at Displace. Infrastructure management simplified. Automate Kubernetes deployments across any cloud provider or bare metal with a single command. Deploy, manage, and scale your infrastructure with ease. Visit displace.tech. That's displace.tech.
Hey, good job.
Thank you. We're on Displace a little later. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you should think about joining us live sometime. You can do that by heading over to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/PHPArch. And make sure you subscribe and hit notifications so you know when we're live. And you might be asking yourself, but why? Why, Eric, would I ever want to try to stomach you live? Because it's a lot. Well, you can be part of the show when you're live. You can actually make the show a little better. You have a voice.
Or a little worse, let's be honest.
Let's be real. You can join us in our Discord over at discord.phparch.com. You share your thoughts in real time. You can help shape the show as it happens. It's a great way to connect with other PHP developers and get your questions answered and occasionally watch us scramble to Google something mid-show. And the Discord's there all week. I think that's an important thing to mention. The Discord does not go anywhere. So, all right. Let's do this one last time for 2005. Let's go. John, you're in charge.
2025?
I had a brain injury. I had head trauma today, John. I have all sorts of questions.
It wasn't just like a week ago you had head trauma? Or a few days ago?
Why are you trying to minimize my head trauma, John?
I'm not trying to minimize it, but you said it was today. It's been
a few days. I've had head trauma this week.
Yes.
I need questions. I need you to help. I'm pretty sure my beautiful wife sees that my mental capacity is questionable, and she's hoping to push me over the edge because she had me like struggling to kind of comprehend what she was saying, and it's frustrating me because I'm sure I'm right, but I can't explain how I know I'm right.
So you're a man.
So yeah. All right. So listen to me. Let's go on a little journey. Discord, feel free to pop in here anytime you like. I would really like everybody's feedback, especially if that feedback is, no, Eric, you're right. You're not crazy. The word relevant, right? You know what the word relevant means, right?
Yes.
This is not a joke. I'm not saying it's a joke.
Is it relevant to this conversation?
Right. So the opposite of that is irrelevant, right? Mm-hmm. It means it's not relevant to what we're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's the word regardless. So regardless of who you are, it's not okay to have sex with an animal, right? Regardless, right? It's what?
That took you a disagree? Weird turn.
Are you not disagreeing?
It just took a weird turn.
So regardless, it's like, it doesn't matter. Regardless, it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Is there a word
irregardless,
called irregardless?
Yes.
There is, right?
Yes.
What does that mean?
The same thing as regardless.
But you have the word ear in front of it, like irrelevant. Irregardless. So it can't be a word.
It is. It's a non-standard word meaning regardless.
But it can't be. It can't be that. It's like a double negative, right? Because it's like irregardless. So it's a double negative. So it's guarded. I'm confused, John.
This
is how my wife tries to break my brain at times.
Your wife is correct on this one.
It's not a word?
It's a non-standard word. It's a word, but it's not the opposite of regardless. It means the same as regardless.
Well, my wife was questioning whether it was a word. And when
it is a
word, I said, yes, it's a word, it means it doesn't matter. And she looked at me, she goes, well, that's the word regardless. I'm like, exactly. And regardless, it means it doesn't matter. And then, like, when I started thinking about it, she goes, okay. And she did the same thing to me. She goes, you know the word relevant, right? Irrelevant means it is, you know, it isn't relevant, right? Relevant means it is relevant, and irrelevant means it's not relevant. So if you apply the same logic, it can't be the same.
Welcome to English. English is stupid.
What's been perplexing me all day. I have not been able to get that out of my brain.
I love watching those like YouTube shorts or Facebook videos where you get people looking at how stupid the English language is. And it just drives me nuts. It was like, yes.
Yeah, that's English, like, is
dumb.
They did the whole SNL skit where they're like, okay, we're going to give the number 12 a word and we're going to call it a dozen. And they're like, oh, what other words are we going to give to numbers? And they're like, nope, that's it. Dozen. It's like, oh, damn. Yeah. Regardless. And
my mom is watching. That's a problem.
Yeah. You might be right, Skimmer. And I was wondering, it was the Mandela effect. Like, am I just like remembering wrong? Like, is this not a word? And I just assumed it was because that's how I remember it. I remember it being a word, but.
Nope. Nope. We've all used it. It's weird because it means the same thing as regardless.
And I will never be able to use it ever again.
Because your wife will kill you. I got a question for you. How did you become Santa and I became Rudolph?
Because I'm in control of the graphics, John. That's what the power... I was going to make an elf. That's what I was going to go for, but I didn't think it had enough of an impact.
I'd rather be an elf because I don't want you riding me.
That's right, baby.
Get off my back, damn it.
Ho, ho, ho. If you're wondering what he's talking about, John's referring to the thumbnail for this show, and I'm actually very impressed that John even noticed it. So,
I always notice. Man.
No, you don't. You liar.
Always. Always.
Oh, man.
What the?
How's it going, John?
Well, better today. I've been sick for the past 2 days. Don't have kids. If you don't have kids now, don't have kids. If you don't.
For your own health. Don't have kids.
Yeah, yeah. They always bring
little petri dishes.
They bring crap into the house, and you're like, why? And I'm very good about keeping my distance. I don't know.
you don't like being around your kids? You're like, hey.
In general, I keep my distance from the kids at all times. No, when they're sick, I do a better job of like, hey, you're sick, stay away. And my wife is all cuddling with them. She didn't get sick at all this time. My young one still gets in the bed in the middle of the night, and he's in the bed in the middle of the night just coughing and hacking. I'm like, that's when I got sick. I just know it. Like, he turned towards me, coughed in my face or something. And then
bastard.
And neither of my kids had a fever, but all of a sudden, not last night, but the night before, I had like 101.6 fever. And I just felt like crap. But today, feeling much better. Happy to be on the mend.
You look like shit, though.
Oh, I do. Okay. I feel like it, too.
Moms have a immutability about them. Like, they can't get sick. Like, they just have some superpower about them. Beck was the same way. Kids will be climbing on, puking on her.
Yeah.
Kids look at me cross-eyed and I'm laid up for the next.
And then they laugh at us for being babies. And like, you don't know what it's like to be sick. You're never sick.
So this is it, man. We're winding down the year here at PHP Architect. We didn't do it like a recap.
I know.
We should really think about doing that.
If you and I ever like got together and planned out shows, maybe stuff like that would happen.
Well, no, I'm talking about the magazine just in general. Like, just highlight, you know, like maybe the end of the year is just a release of all the feature articles from the year. Jesus!
Oh my gosh, I got all sorts of people in here watching us. This is crazy.
Oh no, not Kevin. Jesus Christ.
He's on my bowling team. We're bowling tonight.
So he rubs your balls a lot, or what's happening there?
Yeah, and he's got big.
Welcome to the show, Kevin.
And he bowls with Big Blue.
He's got blue balls.
Yep. Well, he has a blue ball.
He has a blue ball.
And every week he goes through the bowling alley, putting his fingers in each blue ball, trying to find the right blue ball. And
he just sticks his fingers in a lot of holes until it feels right. Yep. I actually thought of you this week. So John and I have conversations about bowling. I'm not a bowler. I mean, I've bowled. Everybody's bowled, right? But I've never like done it competitively. I enjoy it for the most part. And on the East Coast, I think John has kind of confirmed this. We have something called duck pins, which is baby, like, it's not baby bowling, but like the pins are shorter and the balls are smaller, right? And they're fun because as a young child, you can really bowl, but as an adult, you like hurl the hell out of the thing. I saw something and I actually meant to bookmark it and share it with you. And yeah, I honestly forgot. But
candlepin?
I think it was in Argentina, huh?
Candlepin bowling?
What's this?
It's just another one, but the pins are like straight up and down like candlesticks.
So this looked very similar to that. However, the pins are three in a line, right? Mm-hmm. And the object of the game, and like I said, I think this was, if we have any listeners in and around Argentina or know what I'm talking about, please let me know what this is called, because I don't know what it's actually called. But you have a bowling, basically a bowling ball, you wheel it down, and the object of the game is to shoot the pins as far away as you can. So you hit all three, and I guess, I don't know if, you know, whatever one lands the furthest, you know, is the mark, or if it's the average or what, but that's the whole game. And dude, it looks like it's so much fun. Like the guys are just like, and just like throwing it, and everything goes in a straight line.
And you're not sharing this with me because I want to see this.
I forgot. I forgot, man. And I couldn't remember what it was called. I couldn't remember where I saw it. It might have been a fever dream. I'm not sure.
It's a new game you're making up. You're trying to get people hooked on it.
But
trust
me,
it's going to be huge.
Super cool. Yeah. So if I find it, or if anybody in our Discord knows what the hell I'm talking about, I mean, you might even be able to look up, if I'm right about the word Argentina, you might even be able to look up Argentina bowling. Bowler. What's an Argentinian bowler? What's that? Nope. That's cricket. That's wicket. That's not it. That's just bowling. Yeah, I don't know what the hell this thing was, and I don't remember where I saw it, and I totally was like, oh yeah, I wonder if ChatGPT could tell me. You care of the show, John. No, I'm talking to my friend Chat.
How about not worrying about that right now?
No, this is important, John.
So not important at all. Have you done any PHP coding this week?
I've done, well, not this week, no. But I was doing a crap load of PHP coding
this
last week.
You did a lot this weekend, coding. Right?
Oh, yeah. We can't talk about that. I mean, we can tease it, but, you know, I don't like teasing stuff. Yeah, I did. We have an idea for attendees at the conference that John and I have been kicking around for probably a year, maybe a little longer than a year. I was like, hey, wouldn't this be cool? And it was actually something that was suggested to us. We're like, yeah, we like that idea. And then we kind of built on it. And we're like, okay, you know, how can we make this different? And I spent a lot of time on it this weekend, and I'm actually kind of excited where it's at. So I'm not a teaser. I'm not going to tease you guys. But yeah, if you're coming to the conference, we might have something there for attendees. Right. And we're hoping to leverage native PHP mobile for it. So it just kind of all lined up this last year. It's like, oh, hey, cool. We can use that for this. So we'll see how it goes.
I was doing some work, not for the conference, just general work for a client, and got into a conversation about mass updating information via an API. And we're in this weird area right now where we have the legacy application that isn't getting as much love as it used to, and everything is moving towards microservices. So in that era, when you need to make a change to the legacy system, do you do it right or do you do it hacky? And I was very torn, So I put it out to the group. Hey, I need to build this API endpoint. We have a third party that wants to send information. And it's basically almost like a CSV of a user ID and a value, right? And do I build an endpoint that will take all of that at once? Or do I do it as a RESTful API where it's a single request per user? And got some interesting feedback from the group. And you can go either way, like, no, just have them post to a collections endpoint with all the data and then you manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other one was have them do a single call per user. That way, you know, they can't overwhelm the system. You can put rate limiting in there if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, the endpoint is going to be, you know, consistent as far as speed goes. You're not going to have these huge spikes of somebody sending you a million records and it taking forever versus one record being really fast. So I was really torn on it. I ended up going with the make them do the looping on their end, and you're going to do it just one at a time. That was
the story.
That's the story. I built
that's cool.
I built that up, and I'm trying to do like follow the best practices that we've been doing for years in a legacy application, and that's hard. Like knowing that it's dying, like putting more love into it, especially when it's been my baby. I've been working on it for 13 years, and knowing that
this is your code base.
This is the big code base.
Your project, yeah. The project you've been focusing on. Yeah. Okay.
So knowing that in the back of the minds of everybody else, it's a dying code base, and they would rather not work on it at all. And I'm like, but it's my baby, and I don't want to not do it. So I spent extra time on it and added tests and trying to make it the best I can.
For nobody will ever run those tests.
Well, it gets run on CI/CD. They're always run. What are you talking about?
I had, we didn't talk about it on the show because of the timing. Also, anybody interested, we had a little company Christmas party. Well, we had a company Christmas party. It was at a Denny's, and I was the only one there. It was pretty sad because nobody lives around each other anymore. But we had a little below deck Christmas holiday extravaganda on the Alive and Kicking podcast. I didn't get to spend a lot of time on it because I was kind of, you know, working. Somebody had to work, but a lot of the team was on there. It was fun. It was cool. So
I was whining.
Curious. You were my, I'm not feeling good. Yeah.
Yep.
Big baby. But yeah, check it out. It was on Tuesday, and quite a few. Frank was on. Brooks, our mobile developer, was on.
I don't think, didn't he say any words?
Oops. I mean, he's a JavaScript developer. I mean, he only has a very limited vocabulary, and yeah, Brooks is awesome.
You really got to stop doing that in public. You're gonna, like,
yeah. I love it, man. It's all I got. It's all I got. I got to keep giving him a hard time. I got to make him feel inferior.
No, it's fine, except we're trying to sell JS Tech tickets.
Oh, whatever. maybe we need a dunk tank and give JS developers an opportunity to try to dunk me or something. But anyways, big shout out to Frank and Brooks and Joe even contributed a ton. We are ready to launch this mobile app for a client that's been in development for a long time, way longer than it should have been. And I'm really excited. We had kind of the last meeting today. There were two kind of what we consider minor things that needed to be corrected. And, you know, we're going to correct it. And basically, when we come back from holiday, we'll start rolling out to their customers. So really excited about that. It was a good meeting. It was the owner of the company was on, the owner, our client owner was on. And that's not unusual. He participates in a lot of the hands-on sort of meetings. But it was a very relaxed, you know, enjoyable meeting because sometimes these meetings can get really intense. And especially with this particular project, it was just like, it just felt like it was never going to end. And we just kept pushing forward and finally got there. So I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too quickly because obviously, you know, it's been rolled out as beta to a couple of their customers, but you know, we're going to roll it out to everybody. And it's exciting. I'm really happy to have it.
It'll be more fun the day we can turn off the old version and be like, it's gone.
Oh, and it's exciting to hear our client talk about that. They're like, you know, listen, people can onboard on the new version whenever they, you know, when they want. Like, we're not going to force them today, but in like 6 months, we're going to tell them they have 3 months to convert, you know, provided that like there are no like real showstoppers or anything like that. Like, if everything rolls out smoothly and everybody's liking it, and all the feedback we've gotten has been so encouraging, so positive, it's a very much different approach to the mobile app than what this client had been using. And it was risky. Like, it was a fight to get them to embrace this new flow, and trying to explain, this is how mobile apps work. If people are using a mobile device, this is how they expect the application to work. And so there was a lot there. That was a struggle. That was a real struggle. But as we started rolling it out, and as we started getting the feedback and everybody just loving it, and there were some tweaks we had to make, like, you know, basically just like, oh, hey, can you make the outlines a little more evident, like for forms and stuff, you know, just like small things. But for the most part, everybody loved the new flow. So yeah, super excited. I hope it continues to go this well, and really happy for the client, because I know they've been working really hard. Their whole team has been basically focused on just iterating through it and testing everything inside that, because there's so many different components to this flow. It's crazy.
Yeah, Schemer, to answer your question, this app started a couple years ago, well before native PHP mobile was in our lives. So unfortunately, this one is not, maybe version 3, but nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now what I did say is the app we're talking about building for the attendees at Tech will be native PHP mobile. And our mobile developer is very on board with that. He's actually really excited. He's spoken to Shane a few times, and so it's nice to have to hear, you know, he's accelerated about it, which is great, because, you know, he's been doing mobile development for a while. And the idea, I think he also likes the thought that he can start leveraging the rest of the team, because of, you know, everybody on the team is pretty versed in Laravel. You know, obviously PHP, but with native PHP mobile, it's specifically Laravel. So he's looking really, you know, he's looking forward to just having that, because we try to help him as much as we can, but he is still kind of on his own little island, because he's using JavaScript frameworks that are, you know, targeted for mobile development. And we have Chris is, you know, our newest team member. You know, he's kind of fluent in that area as well, but until before then, we really didn't have anybody. We had just people who understood JavaScript development, but didn't really have their head around these frameworks, especially these mobile frameworks. So yeah, it's really exciting, really happy. So yeah, I did that, and then to make things worse, I actually might have to contribute code to our legacy code base. Yeah, it's our legacy code base, because it's this thing. I'm actually really proud of everything everybody did. This is the code base that we had inherited, that we have nursed along since PHP 5, right? Mm-hmm. It was 5, yeah. Right? I think originally it was 4, but by the time we got involved, it was already up to 5. And we have now not only brought it all the way up to 8, but we have injected a Laravel framework inside of it. So when we had done this, I wasn't aware of anybody else doing this, and it seemed crazy at the time. We're like, well, what if we put a Laravel framework inside of the application, and as we develop new components, we'll develop them in Laravel. And we did that a few years back, and It was crazy. Like, there was definitely some, there was a learning curve on how to do routing, how we could share the Laravel components with the legacy code base. And there was a lot of that that we worked through, and team did a great job with that. So that's there. And now I'm building an API for the same client, actually. And it was funny because it was like, I'm always like the proof of concept guy, right? Like, they're like, hey, we want to build this proof of concept. And it's never a proof of concept. They basically say, hey, we want to build version one. But yeah, so I'm doing an API, and I'm going to actually have, I couldn't even tell you, honestly, the last time I have done a straight up commit to this code base. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't tell you the last commit that has my signature on it. That wasn't like a merge or something like that. Mm-hmm. I guess something stupid. So I'm kind of excited about that. And yeah, all sorts of fun things happening here as the year winds down. Skimmer, why are you using FluxUI LiveWire?
No, that's for OFFS.
That's a great question, Skimmer. I'm really curious. So John and I have a philosophy where we try to support as many people in the PHP ecosystem as we can, right? So when they came out with Flux, I still am a big LiveWire supporter. It's, you know, it's kept me kind of relevant with my terrible JavaScript skills, right? So when they came out with FluxUI, you know, we were like, okay, we'll get on board. It was like a paid program, and we were early adopters, so we did like this lifetime license with it. And, you know, I don't have a problem doing it, right? But my issue is I still don't understand what the benefit of FluxUI is. As it applies to any other Tailwind component library, I don't see, like, it doesn't have enough of a tie-in to LiveWire where I'm like, oh yeah, I couldn't do this FluxUI, I couldn't do this if it wasn't FluxUI. You know, it seems like it's just another component library to me. And maybe I just haven't given enough time, but I have honestly kind of given up on it because I don't know. It's just other Tailwind component libraries out there that I enjoy working with, and I haven't really felt the benefit to it. So let me know if I'm missing something, Discord, because I feel like I have to be missing something with this.
I have no clue. I haven't used it at all. I saw you and Frank talking about it recently.
Yeah. And I'm not knocking on it. Like, Tailwind component libraries are awesome. I definitely will encourage you to latch on to one, understand one, and utilize one. I just don't know what the benefit of Flux is over any other one.
So okay. A really good Blade component library built to easily plug into LiveWire. So it's more about the components pre-built for you instead of having to build your own components, it sounds like.
But that's what all Tailwind component libraries are. That's what I'm saying. Like, the LiveWire part is the part I feel like I'm missing. Like, I don't feel like there's enough live wireness there to say, oh, this is awesome. Hmm. Skimmer says the advantage.
That's what I just read.
Skimmer, explain to me, though, how is it different than any other Tailwind component library? Just explain it to me. What is the live wire part that you're referring to? I mean, obviously, it came from the same person who did live wire. So what you're saying makes sense. And that's kind of how it was marketed. I just don't see it. I don't understand what that piece is and how it differs from any other component. While you think about that, let's hear from our partners over at Displace.
Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thanks, displace.tech. No, I got it, John. I'll say it.
I was too busy reading your message to me. Thanks, displace. I just want to talk about this because I thought it was funny. It's been on my board for a couple weeks now, but a cryptology firm canceled their elections after losing their private key. Wait. I mean, you're a cryptology firm.
Wait, we gotta shut everything down? Somebody lost the key? What the hell, man?
I didn't have to go away. I didn't have to. There wasn't a paywall here before. Dang it.
I don't have a paywall.
Yeah. Oh, good on you. maybe because I've come here a few times. They're like, nope, you're.
Oh, you hit one of those limits? Like you can only read 5 articles a month or something? I hate those stupid things.
Probably. They split the private key up into 3 pieces. So 3 different individuals had a piece of the key. You know, they're trying to do it right to make it secure. Mm-hmm. But when it came time to actually see the results, only 2 of the 3 could upload their key because the 3rd person irretrievably lost it. And it goes in here to say,
You literally had one job.
Yeah. Protect this one piece of information. So they say the hardest part about cryptography is usually the human element. If you scroll down towards the bottom, it's like, that's where
that's
a human mistake.
That's security in general, right? I mean, right. That's always the biggest security flaws, the human element. Yeah.
Yep. Whether it's forgetting keys, improperly sharing keys, or making some other mistake, cryptographic systems often fail for very human reasons.
Yeah. So what are the election? Like it said, canceled elections. Like what? Was this a serious election or just some?
No,
like,
I don't think it was political. I don't know what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's enough to make people worry about the future of elections when it comes to politics or anything else, right? When you're voting on something and your vote needs to count, you want to make sure it does. And if this was a nationwide thing and you're talking, you know, 100, 200 million votes, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoops, we can't see the results. So vote again.
We'll have to do it over. I have a feeling we're going to end up with that anyways.
Yeah. So next, they're saying, whoops, we screwed up. Next time we're going to make it a 2 out of 3 key thing. So we're still going to split the keys up, make it as secure as we possibly can, and not require all 3 to be there at the end.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's bonkers, man. That is bonkers.
Like you said, it is more funny that it says a cryptology firm. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Let me knock some things off here. I'll put this over here. It's pretty much almost done, but there's a Laravel OSS advent calendar for 2025. I thought this was going to be cool, and it's just marketing the different things of Laravel. So it's fine. It's not as cool as I guess I was hoping it was going to be, but it's just basically talking about different things, especially the OSS piece. I'm okay with some of the stuff. I remember I came across something. I'm like, well, how's this OSS? But I don't remember what it was. Now this all looks OSS for me, which is open source software. Anybody wondering what OSS is?
Do you do any advent calendars?
No, I don't.
I don't either. This year, my mother-in-law shows up and she gives me an advent calendar that she saw online and was super excited about. And it was supposed to be the 25 days of whiskeys or something. And
you're supposed
to get a little taste of whiskey. But she hands it to me. She goes, but it's way too light. And the whole thing was you're supposed to be able to drink the little shot of whiskey and then hang the bottle from your tree.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was all just little plastic bottles. There was no, I mean, they were flat. They were just ornaments.
Oh, there was no whiskey in them?
No whiskey, no.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, and she's like, I knew I was getting scammed. So she's trying to fight that, but then to make it right, she found one in Costco that's a 12-day one of different cocktails. So you get, but these were actual cans, little cans of different cocktails like margaritas and stuff. And I started it, but then I got sick and I'm like, I'm not drinking tonight. So I have a few days to make up for. I should go start.
Yeah. All right. So I was a few days behind, and I actually came across one that I kind of remember, but don't really. Folio, Laravel Folio is a page-based routing system for Laravel. So I think if I remember correctly, it's the old style where you point it to a directory and every file in that directory becomes a route, basically, if it's what I'm thinking. So let me see. Greeting. Yeah, I think that's what this is. Yeah, kind of. It's funny, like, the things you forget. What was the things you forget? Like, Laravel has gotten so big. Like, there are components of it, like, people just forget about. Mm-hmm. What was the Laravel Slim version called that was really directed for APIs? What was that called?
I'm sorry, you broke up there for me.
Lumen. Remember Lumen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even sharing the right thing anymore. So yeah, this is like a, I feel like this is like a Laravel Lumen thing where it's like, oh, this is a good idea, and then nobody uses it, and it just kind of dies on a vine or something. Although I could be full of shit. People could be using this. I don't know. What do I know? Yeah, interesting. So yeah, that's kind of what the Advent Calendar is. Just basically covers all the components of Laravel that maybe you've forgotten about. It's like Pale. I forget what Pale is. What's Pale? Real-time log monitoring. Okay. Yeah, I kind of remember this. Hmm. Yeah, Pale. Yeah, all these things out here. Pennant was number one, which is something Kaylin and our team implemented using that Laravel component of this legacy app. And boy, has it been a home run.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Not only are they using it, so what Pennant is a feature flag package, right? Oh, I'm not sharing it. Sorry. God damn it. So Pennant is a feature flag package in Laravel that allows you to roll out certain features to clients. And Kaylin had implemented this and used it to roll out a couple of features. And the first time we did it, it went so well, and I even made a big deal out of it in the meeting. I'm like, hey, I really hope everybody appreciates what you saw here. Not only did we roll out a feature to specific customers, but we leveraged this new feature workflow, this Pennant workflow that Kaylin implemented to do so, meaning we can continue to do this moving forward.
Didn't we already have feature flags in that system, though? Not Pennant feature flags, but I mean, I don't work on that software very often, but I remember we had this whole page of checkboxes that was always a pain in the ass that you had to check off all of these things that a client can do. Weren't those feature flags?
Those are components or features that clients can subscribe to, right? So yes, you know, maybe they subscribe to service A, and so they enable service A. But it's not really a feature flag. So what Kaylin had implemented is we can iterate on service A without deploying it to everybody. So we come up with a new version of service A, roll it out to a couple of clients. Everybody's happy with it. And then they open the floodgate and roll it out to everybody. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes, no, not really. I mean, it's kind of more of a, you know, enable modules for a particular customer sort of thing.
Gotcha.
This is way cooler, and I am so proud of the work our team does. Like, we've been so fortunate with the team we have, because not only, like, nobody on the team does like the bare minimum. Everybody tries to push themselves to do better, to be better, to, you know, push the code base to be more standards compliant. It's like, it's everything I wanted the team to be, and they're so good at it. And I really do try to stay out of the way as much as possible because of that, because I'm just going to slow them down. I really should not be coding.
Let's talk tech for a minute.
Jesus Christ. Sure. You're talking about the conference tech?
The conference tech. Okay. PHP tech. JS tech. I've been booking lots of air.
Oh, check this out. Look what Chrome has. Oh, I don't know how this is going to work. It doesn't work. What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Chrome.
The side-by-side.
What did I tell you?
The side-by-side tabs.
My favorite feature from Edge was splitting the screen. Yep. Yeah, Chrome has it.
Yeah, now. I saw that.
But you can't share the side-by-side. So, all right, JS Tech.
Anyway, I've been booking airfare for speakers this past week and a half, 2 weeks. And I'm constantly talking to them, trying to figure out, one, how they learned about the conference, and just having general conversation, not just be like, here's your flight, get out of here. talking with somebody today, and they're talking about their team, and they were asking about getting virtual access, and they assumed that all the videos became public, which we don't do because a lot of our speakers don't want that. Plus, we have PHP Tech TV, and we're not going to do that. But
it's not that we're not going to do it. We haven't really figured out a workflow on figuring out which ones we can release. But yes, go ahead.
So anyway, so he was talking about getting a package for his team. And I'm like, well, why aren't they coming to tech? And he tells me, oh, his company would buy tickets for the team if they would go. But a lot of these kids don't go anymore. They don't see the value in it. So I just wanted to...
So hard to hear.
Yeah. So I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk about it and maybe share this portion of the episode with your team. Going to a conference is more than just learning about something. It's the relationships that you build. I talked about it numerous times on this podcast. I first started in 2010 going to a conference, and it was after that that I became less scared as a person. I mean, it sounds weird, but I felt like I was stuck where I was at, doing what I was doing. I felt like I was lucky to be where I was at. You know, the whole imposter syndrome thing. And it was after that that I started to release some of that. So you learn a lot about yourself. And then we talk about it all the time. It's you start to learn things that you don't know you need to know. And
that's a big part.
You go and you see a talk on something that you're not doing today, and when you need it down the road, you're like, oh, I remember seeing a talk on this. And then you have more ammunition, you have more tools in your tool belt that you didn't have before. So there's so many reasons to go to a conference.
Well, what's crazy, and what I always feel is the bigger benefit to it, exactly what you said, but not so much talks. Like, you're having lunch with other PHP developers who do this for a living most of the time, and they're solving problems that maybe you've encountered and couldn't resolve, or you haven't encountered yet. Kind of the same thing John just said. And you make these connections with these people that when you realize, oh, hey, I need to reach out to somebody for help with event sourcing. Oh, that's right. I had lunch with this guy at tech who, you know, did event sourcing, or, you know, I saw this talk of event sourcing, and yeah, it's the, you know, we call them hallway tracks and or whatever. It's the socialization that you don't get with virtual conferences. That's just such a massive game changer. I can't tell you, this is, you know, maybe not the best use case to brag about, but I can't well, actually it is. How many people have gone to tech looking for people for their team, and how many people have gone to tech looking to join a team and have made that connection? And it's just a very chill atmosphere. I mean, just look at look at this lineup. Like, we were just talking about native PHP. This is Shane. This is one of the developers, one of the creators of native PHP mobile. That's him. He's going to be there talking. Like, it's coming from the source's, you know, mouth. It's, you know, there's like, we have the new release manager for 8.5.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is it 8.5? This is the release manager for PHP 8.5, right? I mean, they're going to be there talking. You know, Larry is huge in internals. Like, the guy, I don't know how this guy has this much time, but if you're ever participating in internals, you know, or you've seen the name Larry Garfield go by. I mean, these are the people, and these are just the people who are speaking. Like, it's just crazy. I was always blown away with it. And I know I've shared this story before. So if you're a longtime listener, I know you've heard it before, but if you're not, I remember one of the first conferences I went to, realizing that I was sitting next to Taylor Otwell at one point, and I was sitting across the table from Derek, the creator of XDebug. And these are like two tools that at the time I was just like getting into and getting to learn. And I was talking to these guys, like they're literally right there and, you know, having conversations. And I understand why people would say, oh, you don't need to go to conferences. Just, you know, everything's virtual. It's not totally unfounded. Like, yes, it's good to, you know, you can still get that information, but it's harder to interact with the speakers. It's harder to wave the speakers down after the talks. It's harder to just run into random people who you realize are at the core of a package you're using, or the framework you're using, or a tool you're using. It's insane.
And the friends that you'll make, it's not just acquaintances, but you'll meet people that you have a connection with that you look forward to chatting with them again. Mm-hmm. And then you start saying, oh, I really like going to conferences. And you start going to them more often and running into these people. And then it's just so much fun. It's really well worth your time, especially if your company will pay for you to go. Now, this person did say that company would pay for tickets and not travel, which admittedly sucks. If they're going to pay for the ticket, they should help out with travel as well. But if you can get to a conference, especially PHP Tech, please do so.
Yeah.
And it sounds like if a company's willing to pay and you like the people you work with, you could share a room. The place we hold the conference at is a suite. So there's a separate bedroom. So if you really wanted to, one person in the living room, one person in the bedroom works. Or Eric and I did it before with queen beds, right? In the room.
Well, I mean, you're such a good little spoon.
I tried doing it.
and the other piece of that is when you start to see the benefit, you like John is a perfect example, got more involved, you know, decided to organize a user group, decided to start speaking at conferences. And when you start to understand the impact and benefit you receive, you know, you want to be that impact for somebody else. I think it's always so interesting to see it happen. And you can almost see it happen. Sometimes at these talks, like something just clicks and you can see somebody has now latched on and said, oh, this makes so much this makes so much sense now. And yeah, it's cool. I mean, obviously we're going to hype it up because, you know, we run it now, but even when we didn't run it, we were still doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, we still have these thoughts. I mean, you can go back, watch our previous podcast, and we were having the same conversation.
Yeah.
It's just really benefit. And PHP Tech has always been one of the cooler ones because everything is rep in the same venue. So you don't have to go, you don't have to stay one place and then go somewhere else for the actual conference. It's all right there in the same venue, which is really nice to have. Mm-hmm. We've done conferences that actually, I think Tech is the only one I know now. I mean, even Scale, the big one that I do up in LA for open source, like they have they have hotels around the venue, so it's like across the street or whatever, but it's different. Like at Tech, you know, after the conference, after the talks, you know, you go down to grab dinner and you run into three or four people that you might have made friends with, and you guys all go out and grab dinner because you guys are all staying in the same place. So like even at scale, where they have like four or five hotels, because that conference is, you know, massive. It's like a couple thousand people there at least. I think they're up to like 5,000 people. You know, you just like, yeah, everybody's in different hotels, and yeah, it's just like, it's not the same. I've always really enjoyed how PHP Architect managed Tech. Mm-hmm. Greatly, they've always done a great job. We were very fortunate to have that playbook laid out for us.
Which makes it hard. We keep talking about potentially changing venues or changing location, and it's been difficult replicating that feeling that I got from PHP Tech when I first started going to a conference. I mean, we tried it here in San Diego, and while I loved the venue overall as far as having lunch on the beach and everything, the conference space just wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it just wasn't really, I mean, it was conducive to like a single track conference, but you know, we only did two tracks back then. And even that was kind of like, you know, really just didn't have the same feel that Tech has today.
Yeah. And considering this year, we're going to be four tracks, three PHP, one JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
I should say three PHP/PHP adjacent, including a lot of AI and other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe knows. Even Tech moved around for a little while and just never really hit the same as Chicago.
Yeah.
We're still playing with the idea. I mean, part of it is out of convenience to John and I. You know, we feel like we could do more if we found a venue that was maybe in Southern California. But you know, there's always been a big argument that, you know, people don't want to travel across the country, even if it's coming to Southern California. People don't want to travel across country to go to a conference. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, they go, like, Vegas seems to be that border. Nobody wants to go past. People go to Vegas, but they don't want to go past Vegas.
Meanwhile, for a flight, it's probably only 30 minutes more.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And Vegas is nasty, man. I outgrew Vegas. I mean, it was a thing, and I've been to plenty of conferences in Vegas, and just Vegas in general, but after a while, just like, yeah, I'm tired. Like it's definitely something you can enjoy if you're a wealthy individual, but I'm not, and I value my money, so I don't mind spending it. I don't mind gambling, but there's limits for me, and I can't.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I don't like gambling as much. I would go to play poker, and I would go to see shows and stuff. But like, I'm not a blackjack guy. Well, one. My memory sucks, so I can't count cards. And even if you...
Blackjack and craps are my thing. I enjoy them. Yeah, I like them, but yeah. But yeah, I think the last couple times Beck and I have been, it's just shows and food, really. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, if you can count cards, your odds are still barely above 50%. Right?
Yeah.
If you play perfect blackjack without counting cards, you're... what, high 40s?
Yeah. So you're not going to win. That's basically right. It. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
All right.
You want to talk a little PHP Storm real quick before we end this thing?
Yes. Let's talk more PHP. Why not? PHP Storm. We have a few PHP Storm things on here, actually.
I know. I saw this one, which I think covers the story you have, but PHP Storm 2025.3 is out. Actually just upgraded today, so I haven't poked around at it too much, but I did see that they added support for Claude code right alongside their Juni agent. So when you're in there doing the AI chat with it, you can choose between Claude and Juni. So it's multi-agent support using the right agent for the right thing. What does that mean? I'm not 100% sure because I'm terrible about using agents specifically. But
you know me, I'm a huge fan of Claude lately. It's been my go-to as of late.
Yeah, I mean, Claude Code has been great. I haven't tried it within using the Claude agent within PHP Storm yet. Yeah, I'm going to do that next.
So just out of curiosity, and I don't expect you to necessarily know this. I don't use the Juni. I know I think you mentioned you've had team members who are big on Juni, but I think Juni was an extra fee, right? There's an extra cost.
I don't remember. They were big on Juni before Claude came out. So right.
And Claude's the same way. Like Claude Code is an extra cost. So I'm wondering, like, I assume if you're already subscribed to Claude Code, you can bring it over to PHP Storm.
This is where I get confused with Anthropic, right? Because right. Claude Code seems to be different than Claude itself. Remember when we were trying to look at the pricing, it was like, oh no, for Claude Code, you go over here to this console.anthropic or whatever versus
right.
wherever we were prior to that. So I don't know that they're one and the same.
So I did notice recently.
Joe is saying that Claude is different than Claude Code.
Well, but recently the desktop agent, at least I just hit the website. It's not the web agent apparently doesn't, but the desktop agent that I installed now has a toggle between Claude and Claude Code. Oh. So you can actually, I don't use it. I understand the benefit of it. So I use it in the terminal, and basically every time you end it, like Claude, and this might be changing because memory in these AI agents is becoming more and more of a thing. But until recently, in the terminal, when you turn Claude Code off and then you started it back up, like, you know, the next week or whatever, it doesn't remember the conversations that you guys worked through, all the coding you worked through before. So it kind of looks at the code base again, and it'll leave itself notes on, you know, like architecture and stuff. But with the client, the desktop client, I think that was like one of the things is like you can just create these projects, and it's just that whole conversation stays resident in that project. So it knows from day to day, you know, what you had previously worked on. And again, I feel like that's changing because, like, I see that becoming more and more of the latest feature in these agents of, hell, hey, this agent now has memory. I think actually Claude is one of them now. I think Claude was talking about how it now has a memory that it can remember not only your previous conversation about a particular area, but also conversations you have in other chats. So it can kind of, you know, realize, oh, yeah, because I do that a lot. As a matter of fact, the project I was working on this weekend, I wanted to implement Socialite. I have a very particular way I like to implement Socialite. And I had done it in PHP Tech. And so I told Claude, I'm like, hey, you know, I did this in this code base over here. Look how I did it. I want to do something similar for this code base. And, you know, it figured it out. So, yeah. What are you showing me?
So Joe's showing how you can export all of your current session before you exit. And then you follow that up you tell it to review your notes. And then Joseph decides to jump in here with, if you just run Claude-C, it will resume from your previous session.
What? Joseph, where have you been my entire life? Actually, I know you, Joseph, we've met. Claude-CC, I didn't even know this stuff. Yeah, I just leave it. So the way I do, I use TMUX, and every project I work on is its own TMUX session. So I usually just have a panel open in Claude, and I just keep it running. But obviously, that doesn't do me any good when I reboot my machine once a month or whatever I do. But that's great. Both of those, I am going to go grab those right now out of Discord and put them in my little note section so I never forget. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
PHP Storm is also saying that in a future release coming up soon, some .x release of 2025.3, you're going to be able to provide your own keys for different agents. So they'll basically anything that's using OpenAI or other agents like that. You should be able to use it within the IDE as well.
Interesting. All right. This is awesome, man. I have to go back and do all this stuff. It's great.
Joe's response is that yes, the Claude-C is nice to resume your previous session, but he likes having those note files.
I can definitely see the benefit of having the note files, for sure.
I would have to see the note files to understand. Like, is it literally just the all of the back and forth that you've had that entire session?
Yeah, I guess the next question is, Joe, is this something you would exclude from your commits, or do you commit?
I would think exclude.
Right? I mean, it would have to be, right? Yeah.
I don't want people seeing what I'm chatting with Claude about.
Exactly. I don't want people to know how stupid I am.
I can't figure this out on my own. Do it for me.
I have to do both these things. You know what I've gotten really bad at? Oh, well, bad or good, depending on how you look at it. It's 4:10. We need to wrap up. But I'll open like two projects or three projects and then give Claude a task and move on to the next project and give Claude a task. And then like forget about it. Like I then jump in a meeting. I take a thing and then I'm like, oh shit, yeah, what did I have Claude doing? And I go back to that project and see where it's at. And
I'm like, I've done that where I've let it sit there for days. I'm like, oh, it's gonna forget where we were at. But of course it doesn't, but it's like it's been too long.
Yeah. Yeah, these are great tips. Yeah, big Claude person here this week. I mean, Claude I think I've stuck with more than most of the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I still use ChatGPT for like documents and social media and stuff like our SOC 2 stuff. I sent it to ChatGPT. I'm like, hey, do all these policies make sense? Like, are these sensible, sane policies that are being submitted? And it just kind of reviewed them all and said, yeah, you know, this is what this one's saying. Everything here seems to be in line. This is pretty typical. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get that wrapped up considering we're about to close for 2 weeks. Joe,
we're not close.
Joe, you can't take time off. You need to stay and finish up SOC 2 compliance.
Yeah, we got to stop saying closing. So anybody who's curious, John and I are trying something new because like we don't think our team just gets enough appreciation.
They don't already get enough PTO from us as it is.
Yeah, exactly. Unlimited.
It's but not unlimited.
This year, we worked with our clients and said, listen, it's as a developer, just in general, it's hard to shut down for Christmas, spin back up for a few days, and then shut down back down for New Year's, because typically here in the U.S., you have Christmas off and you have New Year's off, right? So it's like this weird start and stop thing. And so we're like, what we'd like to do is just give our team the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks starting next Monday, right? Off. We're not off. I just said off. We're not off. We're in spin down. So basically the team is available for emergencies. Like if a bug comes up, something crashes, we're here. We're not off, but we're not working on projects. We're not, you know, doing things. I think maybe the SOC 2 needs to be an exception, but yeah, it's and to the credit of our clients, everybody was 100% okay with it. I mean, they, you know, we had one that was like, yeah, we basically do the same thing. I mean, they make their, you know, their people, like maybe they have their people take vacation time, take time off, but you know, it's you know, they're like, yeah, it's fine. No big deal. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So it's really worked out.
We've made it clear that this is, we are trying this out. It's not guaranteed for next year. I like that idea of making them use their PTO for it.
You like that idea? We used to do that at the enterprise I worked at. It wasn't even a holiday. It was the weirdest thing. It wasn't even like a holiday thing. It was just like a certain, like a Q3 would be wrapping up and they would be like, okay, we're shutting down for a week. So the offices will be closed, but you need to use your PTO. And it was like this whole, they did all these projects because this was a big enterprise. They had a bunch of buildings. We actually had a server room there, which just racks and racks of servers. It was incredible. But they did all these calculations. You know, we don't have to run the buildings for the, you know, this amount, so we'll save this much money, and people have to use their PTOs, so that, you know, you don't like get the stockpile PTO. And
yeah, that's what I'm concerned about is we already have people that don't use their PTO, even though we encourage it to be used. But yeah, it probably should be a PTO thing now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe next year we'll do that. Yeah. So, all right. I'm still sharing that.
We're still talking about that. The new 2025.3 version also adds PHP 8.5 support, so we can finally start using some of the new 8.5 goodness that we recently got.
Mm-hmm. I saw that up here, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the thing you had on yours was this piece.
The out-of-the-box Laravel support. Like, I thought this was already done. Like, are they just rolling this out?
Well, I think, so the Laravel plugin they made free, now I think it's going to be included. You don't have to go find the plugin and install it.
Oh, I see. So it's not going to be a separate install. It'll just be baked into to store.
Right. I mean, it's going to be there. You could probably uncheck it and remove it. Like, I'm not using Laravel, but it's going to be included. You don't have to go look for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they do that with a lot of
pest core support. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff, man. And then
the last one, this database one, is interesting to me. I use the console all the time. And I was always confused because when you go to start a new console, it could say open your recent one or start a new console. And it turns out those were always just files behind the scenes. So they're abandoning the term console. And instead, you're opening a new query file. So you can have these stockpiles of files of here's the queries I'm going to run in this file. So it's not a huge, change. It's just, I'm still trying to figure my way around it because it's like, the files are there somewhere.
This is interesting. This connected cloud providers is really interesting because I wonder if this is allowing you to connect using your AWS keys as opposed to just a normal MySQL connection over SSH.
It has to be because it says, as soon as you do it, you can browse a list of all your databases in those accounts.
How awesome is that? That's pretty awesome.
And it will automatically create the data source for you. Nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. We actually had this talk in the Alive and Kicking on Tuesday about the difference, you know, the fact that all JetBrain IDEs have this database tool baked in. But then some of us, like Frank was an example, prefers to use DataGrip, which is the standalone JetBrains IDE for databases. Yeah. Yeah. I think I mentioned that as well. And
I have both. I prefer the standalone one because I have multiple open at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have the per project one in PHP Storm if I want to use it. But I'm often using my entire screen for the code itself, and for me it's like
I think that was kind of the feel as well, like, and this is for my PHP code, right? And I forget, like, when we're having the conversation, how much my PHP Storm, I've basically stripped it all out. Like, I don't have all the menus and stuff. So it's basically like a terminal, and I'm using Vim is how I kind of equated it to in my conversation on Tuesday. Is like, I remember that was the thing that was so overwhelming to me when I first started using Storm. It's like, there's just too much shit here. Like, not only am I not going to use half this stuff, but like, it's in the way. Like, I need it gone.
Yeah.
And I've, over the years, have done that.
You find your workflow. So for me, I often have like that bottom panel is going to be my test runner or my xdebug. I've got my main area for my code. My left side is going to be my commits and my file explorer, which I close down.
So you do your git. Yeah, I think we've had this conversation. You use PHP Storm to manage your git stuff. Huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah, see, I don't even use it for that.
Yeah. I love it because we're often using Jira, I can equate things to tasks from Jira, which automatically will create a branch, which automatically links everything. So there's a lot of benefits.
And I assume there's a Jira plugin for Storm as well.
Yeah. Well, it's their task server. So it's not even a Jira plugin. It's the tasks part of the IDE.
Oh, interesting. See, I don't even use that. I don't even know what that is. Yeah. Like,
I have to show you my workflow sometime. And then the database I have to the right that I don't use, but I like having the connection in there so that any queries I write within the code, it has the context of the database and then can tell me if my query is right or wrong or help me autocomplete it.
Interesting. Oh, did you see this? They have completion in the terminal. So it's like it looks like it's kind of like that warp terminal. Oh,
I did not see that.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that, but I guess it's cool if you do like it, it's there.
We'll have to check it out because I always have, like, that's the other thing in my bottom panel is my terminals, because I usually have, like, one of them's running ngrok for my project, and then I have two or three others doing different things.
So which version is this? Is this 5.3?
2025.3, yep.
Yeah, I got that. I have that installed. Okay, I'll have to try to play around with some of these new features. I have to look at it. It's been so long. I haven't even looked at, like, the Git tool in Storm in forever and a day. You don't look at that.
I mean, I will drop to the terminal and run Git commands as well, but for the most part, it's create me a branch, do my commit. I'm lazy with my commits, so it's usually I'm going to commit these files, and I hit the little AI button to generate a commit message.
Oh, I forgot about that feature.
And then
I
push and I'm done.
So I use LazyGit, which is just, again, another terminal open, another pane open in my TMUX session. So usually each project I have my code AI window. I have a Git window, and then I usually have some other just terminal stuff for each project, right? So I usually just keep LazyGit. LazyGit needs that AI feature to write. I mean, I guess you can just use Claude now. I'm sure Claude would just do commits for you. I think I've done that in the past.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah. All right, man.
That's a way to wrap up. We've been talking 2025. Long. Talking about PHP Storm.
That's right. PHP Storm, thank you for being a partner of PHP. Oh, wait a minute. You're not a partner. We talked about you way too long, JetBrains.
We still love you.
Give some love. Give some love. Oh, real fast. If you're a GitHub user, your year in code is available to you. Let's share that. You just come here, you type in your username. So you can type in anybody's username, but
don't type mine. It'll be embarrassing.
Yeah, I that's why I'm not sharing mine, man. It was damn pathetic is what it was. I think my longest streak was like 30 days, which might sound like a lot, but like my longest streak used to be like 4 months or 5 months. And yeah,
it says I've been on fire. It said analyzing your copy paste. I noticed.
What?
My longest streak was 12 consecutive days.
Interesting. How would it analyze your copy paste?
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, here's mine's already queued up, I guess.
1300 commits, that's it.
I've been on fire. It's very positive feedback. It doesn't say you've been like a shit developer. Yeah, 32 day longest day was on the street. Yeah. I didn't even watch the whole thing. Yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Little.
Let me turn this off.
A little loud in the music area.
Bugging me. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, if I don't talk to you again, have a great holiday, Christmas and New Year's and all that.
You're talking to the audience because you know you're going to talk to me, right?
I know, but you know, like, I do it for the listeners. Like, we don't talk to each other when we're not on the show together, man.
I'll see you next year.
It's a whole persona.
I'll see you next year.
Oh, man. All right. I'm wrapping
Thank
up.
Thank you for hanging out with us, everyone. We appreciate you.
I'm literally having my house finished up this. It was supposed to be finished yesterday. I
can't believe you're still dealing with that.
It was supposed to be finished today. And now it's supposed to be finished on Saturday. It's like it just continued.
Didn't they come to you saying, hey, we have to finish up this week?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I wanted it done 2 months ago.
It's like, I'm not the roadblock here, dude. I now have had three sinks in the one bathroom, the front bedroom bathroom, that one that happened like after the fact. It was the smallest problem, and they have spent the most time and most money on trying to resolve
really?
It because you just, so yeah, I today was my third sink that they put in there. Like the first one didn't work because the features didn't work. The second one was way
too big. What do you mean their features didn't work? What's the feature of the
sink that was in there was this.
Was it a smart sink?
The bowl was on top of the counter, and then the faucet was behind it, right? Mm. So they got a thing where the bowl could sit back on top, but there was nowhere for the faucet. It was assuming that the faucet was connected to the bowl. Mm. So like, all right, well, this doesn't work. And so like, okay, we're going to bring out a new one for you. We're just going to replace the sink with it. I'm like, all right, that's fine. So that's what they did on Tuesday, right? Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday. So they did that on Tuesday, and you know, Beck comes out and says, did you see the sink in the bathroom? I'm like, well, not really. I mean, it's just a sink in the bathroom. And she says, you need to go look at it. And like the damn thing was like pushed up against the toilet because it was so big. It was like way too big for the bathroom. They used the same faucet, but that faucet wasn't designed for that sink counter. And so like the faucet was like a foot over the sink. I was like, yeah, this ain't working. This ain't gonna work.
So, the fact that they left it there, like, oh, that's fine.
It's just like, oh, you think he'll notice? He's an idiot. So yeah. They got a new thing in today, and hopefully that's all done. And then we're just down to just finishing the floor, which has been a big deal. But yeah, it's something going on. Appreciate that though. But almost done. So really happy with that. All right. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us. You guys are fantastic people. We've enjoyed this past year.
Yep. Until next year.
And if you're not a subscriber to PHP Architect, hook a brother up, you know?
It makes
a great gift.
What I was going to say, too.
Buy it for all your developer friends, you know? It's fantastic. All right, cool. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.